Lena Kime Show, featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where we consider the Puppy Bowl to be almost as important as the big game. Speaking of which, podcasting straight from a hotel room in Atlanta, really thrilled to have, I don't want to embarrass you, because I wrote down some things. I know you're going to be embarrassed when I say them. I wrote down the Kyle Shanahan to my Sean McVay, the Bill Belichick to my Brian Flores and some other dudes, the McVay to a lot of other young other dudes. I consider myself to be part of the Bill Barnwell coaching tree. Welcome to the show, Bill. First time.
What's going on? That's very exciting. I'd never give myself that kind of introduction on my own show.
Which coach, like, I threw out a bunch, but which one do you feel is, like, the most appropriate?
Which coach do I feel is accurately most
like, reflect our relationship? No, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I see you as Jim Harbaugh, and I see me as Jim Tomsula.
That's somehow not generous to either of us. but actually, I do love Jim Harbaugh, as you know, so I will take that. But no, seriously, Bill, I'm really glad to have you. I can't believe you haven't been on my show.
How many times has Dominique been on?
Well, okay, so I know you tape on Wednesdays as well, so sure. I felt, now as I'm saying this, I've been on your show, so you didn't share the same concerns about my schedule, but I was worried about, forcing you to record two podcasts in one day.
It's all good. I was saving myself for this main event opportunity here, and so I'm really excited to be on for the Super Bowl.
This is our third Super Bowl together,
is right? That true?
You're in Minneapolis, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I was in Minneapolis. That was last year.
Yes. And then we did Houston, too.
Oh, the Woodlands, you mean?
The Woodlands. So normally, Bill and I, being somewhere near the nether regions of the totem pole that is ESPN, end up at like an airport hotel. But we're actually pretty central this year. And he's laughing because as soon as I walked into my hotel room, instead of talking about the show I just did a Twitter show, the Super Bowl or anything like that, I was like, this hotel is great. It's okay.
To be clear, it's like, I would say a solid Sheraton. I wouldn't even say like a fancy Sheraton. Like I would say like a decent Sheraton.
I didn't even know it was a Sheraton.
It's not a Sheraton. I'm just saying that is the caliber of hotel we are in. We are in the, should I not say which hotel we're in actually?
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
So I'm kind of insulting.
We're in a nondescript hotel in Atlanta. That's very central.
But I'm really excited because I feel like in Atlanta, you know, I was not sure what I was going to expect from the people of Atlanta. And okay. I feel like I have been so excited to hear the absolute schadenfreude about the Saints losing everywhere I go. Yes. Like, I think people are more excited that the Saints lost than they would have been about the Falcons winning 2 years ago.
I went on Bomani Jones's podcast, and the whole time he just kept sending me like, Mina, this was before the championships, you don't understand how bad it will be. I'd be like, no, come on. He's like, you won't be able to go to the mall. You won't be able to go out in the streets. Like, he made it seem like it was going to be like war-torn. Like, anyways, it's fine. People probably are rooting for the Rams, I guess, given, you know, the Patriots.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, right? Definitely. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned earlier, by the way, you know, I've got these Twitter shows all week, and we are going to be uploading the audio from those shows into this feed. It's our 30 minutes, co-hosting with Diana Rossini, but Bill's going to be on tomorrow, Michael Jr., Andrew Hawkins, some of the shining stars who've appeared on the Mina, who really, you know, made their names.
The all-stars.
On the Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny.
That's the Pro Bowl of the Mina Kimes podcast, I feel like, is the Twitter show.
Yes.
And then I'm getting subbed in because Joe Thomas doesn't want to appear, or Matt Hasselbeck doesn't want to appear.
You're like the Mitch Trubisky.
I am the Mitch Trubisky of the Twitter show.
Did you see, I think it was Mahomes who tweeted like, yes. Oh, they thought our quarterback class sucked, and it was him, Trubisky, and Watson. Yeah. And I was like, Trubisky, you're really going to squeeze right in there, huh?
I love the sort of like the secondhand arguments now that have been like, oh, the Bears were so smart to trade up for Trubisky. They won the division. And,
what?
And it's like, you guys could have stayed put and got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
like, that's not like, happy that Mr. Trubisky, you know, had a decent year. He played better at the end of the year. But, like, really let's not pretend that you guys shouldn't have stayed put at the third pick and taken the guy who's going to win MVP at the end of the week.
I was told Ryan Pace was the smartest executive in NFL history, so I don't know what you're saying there. Not taking shots at anyone. All right, speaking of shots.
Aaron Schatz? Is that what you're going
You know when he goes on Levitard, they play shots, shots.
That's so good.
Yeah, I know. It's really – It's really good. I know. That's when you have a name like that, you know, you can, our names aren't, don't lend. When I teased this episode, I swear to God, we're going to talk about football soon, guys. No. But when I teased this episode, I was like trying to find words that rhymed with Barnwell. Mm. Not a lot of words.
It's all smell related.
Yeah, I know. And then I felt bad.
I'm not going to lie. Not the first time I've had to go through that in my life. Maybe the first time recently in a couple of years.
Oh,
but
as a child.
That has happened. Oh, 100%.
Bill Barnsmell.
There you go. See?
Bill Fartsmell.
Is Lenny already on the show?
Oh, you think that's harsh? Wait till the end of the show. Speaking of harsh, Todd Gurley didn't get a lot of love in the championship round. Before I get into it, I just want you to tell me if you agree or disagree.
Okay.
I think he's going to get a ton of carries in this game.
I don't know that I agree with you. I disagree.
On my own podcast. Tell me why.
Here's why. So, Bill Belichick is known for what in big games?
Taking away the other players.
Right. What do the Rams do best? It's not necessarily just handing the ball to Todd Gurley. It's running outside zone. The fundamental nature of everything they do is we're going to run outside zone, we're going to stretch you, and then we're going to run play action off that. So my idea is Bill Belichick is going to try and take outside zone away. That's what Matt Patricia tried to do when the Lions played the Rams a few weeks ago. And Lions, even though they scored 30 points, the Rams did by the end of the game, they were pretty much at 14 points for a good chunk of that contest or 16 points until too late Todd Gurley touchdowns on short fields. So you would figure, okay, Belichick takes away outside zone. When they haven't been running outside zone over the past few weeks, it's been C.J. Anderson running the football. Ted Wynn pointed this out on Twitter in that when they're not running outside zone, it's mostly been Anderson in the backfield. Now, Gurley might be healthier. So from that perspective, they could say, okay, we're just going to run with Gurley either way, whether it's inside or outside. And when he's healthy, he's the best back on those interior runs. But I have a personal affection in my heart for C.J. Anderson. I want him to do well in this game. I want him to look good in this game. But
he already looks good.
He looks fantastic.
This is a big C.J. Anderson
A big old snack, C.J. Anderson. But you get the idea. I mean, like it. Given what we've seen from them in the conference championship game, when they weren't trying to stretch the other team with throwing the football or with outside zone, it has not been Gurley. So to me, that makes me think, unless they get down a bunch early, which is not out of the question, we're not going to see the sort of like 25 carry workload we've seen from Todd Gurley in the past. Why do you think Todd Gurley is going to have
a workload? Well, now I want to amend my take.
Oh, no.
Because I hadn't considered the outside zone factor, although you'd have to think about what the Patriots would be giving up in terms of coverage if they went. You know, they've been using those linebackers so much to blitz, and it's part of the reason why they've been so successful rushing the passer in the postseason versus the regular season. So there's always some give and take, right? Mm-hmm. I guess what I really think is that the Rams are going to run a lot. And sure, I guess it could be with C.J. Anderson up the middle because I generally feel the Patriots' defense doesn't really have any glaring weaknesses, but they did struggle to stop the run in the regular season. I think in the postseason they haven't had to as much because of game script, right? And just things that have happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like in the Chargers, like obviously Melvin Gordon was hurt and not himself. The Chiefs, you know, they stopped running the ball. I mean, they really diced up the Pats throwing it to Damon Williams. And that's something I also think the Rams will probably do a lot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Patriots run defense ranked 19th regular season against 11 personnel, which... What are we going to hear more this weekend? Bill Belichick takes away your best weapon, or the Rams only use 11 personnel?
Keep in mind there is like a 2,000-word section of my preview that you have not read it. It's not up yet on ESPN.com.
I'm sorry.
That is all about 11 personnel and 12 personnel.
Well, actually, let's talk about that because...
because
you're bringing up actually, I think, something... important, which is, yes, everyone knows they've been running 11 personnel, yada, but over the last couple games, they've actually deviated from that a little bit.
They have.
Do you think that's something we're going to continue to see?
My suspicion is that they will start with 11 personnel, same way they did against the Saints, same way they did against the Cowboys. I think that's what they are most comfortable in. But I think if they struggle, which happened against the Saints early on, then they made a shift to 12 personnel. They tried to change up things, tried to bring in C.J. Anderson for stretches. I think it's going to come down to what happens early in this game and how they're going to react to it. And I don't think the 11 personnel thing is that big of a deal because they're replacing Reynolds with, you know, Gerald Everett or Tyler Higbee, who are pretty athletic tight ends.
Yeah.
So they can do the same stuff. I mean, you're not going to have them run the same exact sort of routes, but they can do the same sort of things. You can have the same sort of fakes. You can run the same sort of concepts. They're just slightly different than they would be in the more traditional 11 personnel for them. So it's going to be a bigger deal than it actually is. Like, I think you're going to hear, like, if it was Collinsworth doing the game, I think it's fair to say
it would be his RPO
for 19. And I think Roma will bring it here or there, but I think it's going to come down more to execution and more about just, are the general concepts working versus who is actually running that personnel for the Rams?
Yeah, well, I'm still going to harp on personnel for a second. No, I was reading Warren Sharp's Super Bowl preview, and the thing that jumped out at me, I tweeted this, was that the pass defense, the Patriots pass defense ranks third in success rate versus 11, which is good, and 26
that's bad.
Versus 12.
I wish I put that in my column. That would be helpful.
So, you know, I think that I just wouldn't be surprised to see those tight ends on the field a fair amount. And that pass defense, man, they're good.
Like, they're good. And, like, I think what's you know, you want to play to Bill Belichick's relative weaknesses, too, if you're Sean McVay. And that team last week, they totally changed what they did. They went the dime package is pretty much their base defensive backs on the field for a good chunk of that game. And they had guys who aren't playing big amounts of snaps, weren't really on the field during the Chargers game. Jonathan Jones and Cam Crossan, yeah. I believe, you know, playing meaningful snaps in that game against Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs' best receiver. So I think it's interesting because I think, number one, you probably want to have the Patriots play with more linebackers. They're relatively thinner at linebacker. I think Dante Hightower is still a good player, maybe not the player he was a couple of years ago before some injuries. You know, Calvin Noy is good, but not necessarily like a superstar. And I think the other thing, and I'm going to ask you what you think about this as well, I don't know what you would want to do with your cornerbacks if you're playing man coverage. And I assume the Patriots are generally going to play man coverage in this game.
Yeah.
So you have Stephon Gilmore, who's the all-pro, and then everyone else is a major step down. What do you do if you're Bill Belichick? Do you put him on Robert Woods?
I'd put him on
Woods. I agree with you, too. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
But do you put Crossan or Jones on Brandon Cooks and help him with a double, or do you hope that Jason McCourty can do it?
Because
Jason McCourty, old.
Yeah, he's been okay.
He's fine.
He's been okay.
But he's old, though.
How old? Let's see
he's
how old.
He's definitely younger than me. I would say almost with extreme confidence.
I think he's the same age as Devin McCourty. So
They're both young.
I think that we will see Jason McCourty actually on the tight ends.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think Gilmore on Woods. Let's see. How old?
31.
That is younger than both of us.
Yeah, that's a real shame.
I think, you know, yeah, you're gonna have some vulnerability, like, Goss probably, they're gonna go after Jackson.
Sure.
Who's, you know, up and down. I mean, he's still a great surprise for them, I think, this season. But, it's almost kinda, oh, this is interesting. I just saw somewhere that the Rams are first in the league against cover one. You were talking
about
the
pretty much man coverage.
Yeah, man coverage. Yeah, so
makes sense.
Well, but I guess in my mind, when I think about the Patriots defense and how they're going to handle the Rams, you know, it's almost less about coverage and more about just making Jared Goff's life miserable so that they don't have to worry about their coverage. And I think that's been, to me, the surprise of the postseason. Mm-hmm. Where the hell did this Patriots pass rush come from?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting part of it, right? Like, Trey Flowers looks awesome. They've been blitzing really effectively. They're not blitzing a ton, but I think when they do blitz, it's worked out really well for them. And I think they're confused Jared Goff. The first third down of that Lions game, Lions come out with two linebackers in each of the A gaps. They bring pressure. Jared Goff misses an open receiver. I don't think the Patriots are going to blitz a ton in this game. I don't think it makes sense for them to do that. But I think, and I talked about this with Dominique a bit when we did our podcast, it all really comes down to basically, can you confuse not only Jared Goff, but can you confuse Sean McVay?
Ooh.
Because you know Sean McVay is on the sideline, sort of like, you know, figuring things out for Jared Goff. So
Right. It's
a question of, number one, are the Rams going to try and play an aggressive game and get the ball out quickly? Snap the ball quickly so you're not, you know, running the clock below 15 seconds when, as I put it in my column, Sean McVay ghosts Jared Goff at the end of every play because, you know, they're both millennials. It makes sense. but number two, then, can Belichick confuse McVay? Like, if they're going to try to get, can they sort of hide their defense and mask what they're going to do and then still play good coverage after the snap? Because if you do, and if you can confuse Sean McVay and then confuse Jared Goff, you don't have to be great in coverage. You just have to be good enough to confuse him and get him off his first look.
Which the Patriots have been so effective at. When we talk about, like, where did this pass rush comes from? You know, it comes from confusion, stunts. I think I saw somewhere they've been like, a great stunt stat.
I think there's an interesting sort of, you know, situation there that you have this genius defensive coach who's been brilliant for so long, who has seen every possible thing, who's played against this offense or versions of this offense for 25 years now.
I have my stunt stat.
Go ahead.
They have used stunts on 54% of pass rushing snaps after only using it 28% in the regular season.
That's almost double.
And when they've done it, they've gotten pressure on the quarterback 58% of the time.
That's good.
That's a lot, folks, in case you don't know. Actually, the Patriots, I think they've gotten pressure, like the pressure numbers this year are better than any team during the regular season.
Really?
So they are, but to go back to your point about deception, mm-hmm. and again, this is why I love this matchup. It's an offense that's entirely based on deception and uncertainty facing mm-hmm. a defense that seems to be excelling at those two things right mm-hmm. now. And they're both going to be, it's like a chess match between these two coaches.
It's a football game, to be clear. let's clarify. They are going to be football. Who do you think would be the best coach in the NFL at chess, actually? I don't think it would be Belichick. I think he's too focused on football.
I think McVay would actually be really good at chess.
You don't think Pete Carroll would be good at chess?
No, absolutely not.
Would he be good at checkers?
He would just insist on using the rook over and over and over.
You got to establish the rook.
Now I'm upset again. Aw. I had moved on. I agree with you. I don't think that it's going to be like crazy blitzes, but mm-hmm. you know, we're going to see some weird stuff.
And that makes sense, right? Like, he's had 2 weeks to prepare. You would figure if you're ever going to throw out some weird stuff, now would be the time. And it doesn't have to be sustainable, you know? Mm. Like, you don't have to have a game plan where you have to run it back next week and have, you know, a plan B for when they know what you're doing. Like, you can just, it's sort of like the Ravens, where the stuff they were running was really effective. And then the second time the Chargers faced them, it was a major drop off and they didn't really have an answer for that. The Patriots don't have to have a plan B for tomorrow. They can just, if they mix up McVay and Goff for four quarters, they're good. It's done. So I think they're going to do stuff that I think might be riskier than they'd be willing to do during the regular season if they were going to play a team again. Like, you might see more cover zero than you do in the Patriots in a typical thing. You might dare them to take some shots because I don't think that, I had in my column this week, Jared Goff has more misses, according to Next Gen Stats, on deep throws where he had more than a 50% chance of completing it than anybody else in football. The three worst misses of the year, all 85% or more, all Jared Goff throws.
Really?
Yes. So I think it's a question of I think they're going to be comfortable saying, hey, we're going to give you three shots where you have a one-on-one matchup that's in your favor. We don't think you're going to be able to hit it. And if you're the Patriots, then you're both those odds. Right.
Yeah, I mean, so the last game I thought was like a perfect microcosm of what you're mm-hmm. describing, which is he was, you know, basically neutralized for a half until the very end. And then he had some real bad misses, man, I'm talking about the championship game. And not one, even the throw to Woods, that wasn't a miss, but if he had hit him in stride, it would have been a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And then it was a terrible miss to Everett, as I recall. Mm-hmm. But then he threw some of the prettiest passes I've seen all game. And that's kind of Jared Goff right now, right? Like he will make a few wow throws against the Patriots if they're playing man. Mm-hmm. But he also, I think, leaves a lot of turnovers on the defense, if the ones leaving the turnovers on the mm-hmm. field. I would not be surprised if the Patriots benefit from, you know, getting him to turn the ball over at some point.
Mm-hmm. It makes total sense, right? Like, you'd figure, the way I put it was, the range of outcomes for Jared Goff is higher than they are for most other quarterbacks, including Tom Brady. And that was also true of Nick Foles last year, and in the play to the Eagles' strengths, where, like, Nick Foles could have been anything from the way he played in that game to absolutely terrible, and they were all plausible. And they got a 99th percentile outcome game from Nick Foles and won the Super Bowl. And they needed it because their defense was a mess. So from my perspective, I think Goff could be awesome. He could have that game from week four against the Vikings over again. It's not out of the question. McVay said 2 weeks to prepare. You got to figure he's going to have some stuff dialed up that the Patriots aren't prepared for either. But could also say the opposite, where he is a total mess, throws three interceptions, strip sack, total man. I'm not saying either of those are likely or
But the range of outcomes for him is very enormous. Yeah, whereas for Brady, it's just like pretty small at this point.
If you're Bill Belichick, do you want the running game to beat you?
If you're Bill Belichick,
or do you want Jared Goff?
Jared Goff to beat you.
I feel the same way.
So that to bring this kind of full circle, that's why I think it may be not Gurley, but the Rams are gonna run the ball, and I think the Patriots defense is a unit that can be exploited.
I think so, and I think if you don't have faith in your defense in stopping Tom Brady, a lot of teams have tried to run the ball against the Rams. They could do the same thing against the Patriots in the game and say, okay, we're going to try and keep Tom Brady off the field, and sort of, if we think our best shot of winning is keeping Aaron Donald fresh in so many games with the Patriots, pass rushers have sort of slowed down in the fourth quarter because mm-hmm. the Patriots have run 70, 80, 90 plays.
Yep.
Your strategy might be, clockwork. Let's run the ball and let's keep Aaron Donald and that spectacular physique fresh on the sidelines.
Can we talk about that physique?
Sure, of course.
Well, we're going to talk about the Rams defense and the Patriots offense, so maybe we'll save it for the appropriate section. Before we do, I have some really exciting news.
Oh, no.
You guys have been really supportive, and as a result of that, the Munich Iron Show, we're going big time. We got a sponsor. Stop laughing at me. I'm very proud of this. I'm very excited about this.
Am I allowed to be included in the ad read here?
You can give me feedback.
I'll give you feedback.
I'm really excited about this sponsor because it's actually something I've used before, so it's not like, you know.
I was trying to run through my ad reads and be like, what would be the most insulting thing
I could think of? Like a Dollar Shave. Not that I don't like Dollar Shave. Holler at me, Dollar Shave, if you want to support the Beat Country as well. But this is something I've actually used before. And so, quick backstory. I am like notoriously bad at pre-planning gifts in advance. And I'm like, you know, very much like a 3 or 4 days before kind of girl. Growing up, I was the girl who always gave her mom a coupon book full of for Mother's Day because I forgot to put a gift together. So I'd be like scrambling and crying, like one free hug. And God, moms have to pretend to be excited about that. It's the worst gift you could ever give anyone.
I don't know. My sister once during Christmas stole my baseball cards and then gifted them back to me for Christmas. I feel like she could do the same thing.
Amazing. That's really funny. Anyways, it was last spring. Mm-hmm. Actually planned in advance and I got my mom an edible arrangement. I'm telling you the truth. My mom listens. She reads the comments, as you guys know, and she loved it. It's really convenient, which is my primary interest. And, you know, it's a great Valentine's Day gift. You get like the fresh fruit and the chocolate. It's arranged super prettily, way nicer than anything I could ever make with my own hands. They have over 20 options. I went on the website and there is a bouquet of chocolate dipped strawberries, which is way better than flowers, gentlemen.
Can't eat them.
Can't eat flowers, unless maybe Lenny would eat flowers. Lenny would really love chocolate covered strawberries. So anyways, you know, you can be a procrastinator like me, an idiot, and you'll end up making a coupon book of hugs for your girlfriend who will then dump you. Or if you order this by February 10th, you get 20% off.
That's a good deal.
Any pickup order over $50. Yeah. So stop by your local edible arrangements and experience love at first bite. Or, that's what Letty says to me, or order online and have it delivered at edible.com. All right. I put out a request for Super Bowl related questions and we got a few.
Question. Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
So we're just going to do six questions. They'll just can't stop laughing at my brilliant hosting performance.
Listen, in the last 3 years, you started as a guest on my podcast.
Live podcast. Yeah, in New York, yeah.
And then on your 30th birthday.
Ooh, yeah.
On your 30th birthday.
Don't tell them how old I am.
And look where you are now.
It's on Wikipedia.
So I am not going to disparage your hosting because I'm still hosting the same. I'm at the same exact place I was.
Look at where I am now. I'm in your hotel room using your technology to go. This feels pretty lateral, actually. All right. Stipbook asks, what do the Rams have to do to beat the Pats? Very one sentence, Bill.
They got to outscore the Patriots.
Oh, wow. That'll do it.
Of the game.
I was going to say they got to want it more.
Yeah.
The team that wants it more is definitely going to win.
Has there ever been a time where the team that wanted it more actually did not win? Can you think of a game where that happened?
It's pretty much every day for me. But I think Bill and I kind of both agreed running the ball was going to be a pretty big factor for the Rams. And then we'll talk about the Rams defense and what they got to do. Just one pal. Oh, that's a sad.
Well, I mean, put it this way. That person is not in the primary user base for edible arrangements unless they're buying them for themselves.
Oh, but which you should. Treat yourself. He says, if money's no option, you're only limited by space. I love this one. What would be your ideal Super Bowl spread? I know mine.
Ideal Super Bowl spread. Is yours just chicken fingers?
I love chicken fingers, but no. I'm trying to be classy.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. To be fair, I had a Publix chicken finger sub for lunch, so I have it on my mind.
Wait, a chicken finger sub?
You've never had Publix chicken fingers
before?
They
put the chicken fingers in the sandwich?
Yeah.
No, that's not what I want.
Your big mistake.
No.
You're going to hear about this one.
No, I like my fingers pure with honey mustard. My ideal spread would be like a really good barbecue spread.
Really
with
good
like
barbecue.
All the sides and cornbread and ribs and like barbecue sliders. Mm. mac and cheese. What about you?
You know how, like,
ooh, I'm getting hungry.
Some fancy Instagrams will have, like, it'll be, like, color curated. So, like, as you scan up, it'll be, like, different color bases. I want that, but with wings. So, like a big spread of wings, but, like, different,
ooh, pretty,
different flavors, yeah, like, spreading. So you have, like got, like, some hot,
like,
buffalo,
like,
corner,
a rainbow.
Yes. And then it ends up with, like, some yellow, like, honey mustard. Like, yes. That kind of stuff on the bottom. Like, total range of.
I like that. I like that idea. ALR52 asks, how important is the running game for the Pats? Well, we're going to talk about the Pats offense in a moment, but I'll just give you a little preview. I expect to see a lot of the running game for the Pats. ChadOnline.com. Not going to check that chat.
I'm going to.
Asks, careful, is that a work computer? Do you see the Pats using a lot of single high against the Rams?
Yes, because they're going to play a lot of man.
Yeah, we were talking about, yeah, I do. I think that's pretty likely. I think that's also, given the Rams' personnel, the most effective option.
Yeah, I think you're going to see single high man, and you're going to see the Patriots use that single high player to double someone in a particular play, whether it's Brandon Cooks, whether it's Robert Woods, and then you're going to have probably either a linebacker or a defensive end sort of funneling in to double Todd Gurley out of the back.
I was just saying, I think that frees up a safety too to help with the run. Chung would be.
Yes, so I think you're going to see a lot of, like, am I allowed to answer these questions with more than a sentence?
No.
Okay.
No,
I'm not.
Oh, wait, I meant to say yes, but no came out of my mouth. Like, I said it in a yes voice, like, yeah, but I said no.
Yes. It's like when you talk to your dog.
My brain were,
it's like when you talk to your, and you say the wrong thing, but you're like, I said it with the right tone, so they just responds to the
way. My dog, like, only responds to tone sometimes, I think. Mm-hmm. So if I was like, if I said in the, want to go for a walk voice, but said something like, Lady, I hate you, he'd get really excited. I would never say that, and, you know, I hope he's not listening. But you were just going to say one more thing about.
I was going to say that, I think what this game could get down to in terms of actually confusing the Rams is you want to have a safety in the box who's both going to have run responsibilities, but also that have pass responsibilities. And I think, the Patriots and Belichick have a lot of experience with that, going back to Nick Saban, going back to their time in Cleveland, and sort of having a eighth player in the box who has pass responsibilities. And I think that's tough to pull off, but if anyone can do it, if anyone can have the sort of communication to pull that off, it's going to be the Patriots.
Tom314 asks, what's the over-under on three for the number of quarterbacks you'd swap Russell Wilson for the next 5 years? That's fun. That's a fun one. Okay, well, actually, there's like the, are we considering salary aspect, right? Because Russell Wilson's salary is about to get really, really high, which would increase the number of quarterbacks. Let's do the real world. Let's do that. So Mahomes, yes. I'd take Mayfield.
Really?
Yeah, I would, because of salary, I would at this point. I'm cold-blooded. I think Russell Wilson is, you know, way better than him, and who knows what his ceiling is, but I just think, I'm just thinking of, like, the guys on rookie contracts that I personally like a lot as quarterbacks.
So you would take Mayfield.
Mahomes.
You wouldn't take Rodgers?
No.
Really?
Would you?
Yes.
Really?
I think Russell Wilson is a top five quarterback. I'd still take Aaron Rodgers.
After that year. His age.
Who do you think was responsible for that year? Was it Aaron Rodgers or Mike McCarthy?
I think it was mostly Mike McCarthy, but Aaron Rodgers wasn't great. Oh, wow. We can't do this now. There's not enough time. ChiTown18 asks, what do you expect? See, people are always like, oh, you're such an Aaron Rodgers homer. Listen to this podcast, y'all. I'm speaking the truth. ChiTown18 asks, what do you expect to see from each team's run game? We talked about the Bill doesn't think there's gonna be as much Todd Gurley as CJ Anderson. That's a bold take. We do expect to see a lot of run. Let's answer this now. Let's segue into, you know, Patriots offense, which has been the runniest run offense this side of Seattle.
Do you know who I think is really going to be a big player in this game? I'm sorry.
I wake up screaming, run, pass. What were you going to say? Sorry.
Do you know who I think is going to be a big player in this game?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is going to be pretty big. Do you know who I think is going to be an unlikely big player in this game? Again, you have not read my preview. This is covered.
I haven't read your preview. Yeah. So I thought, like, we were actually texting about this. James White was like my big, I was like, oh, I was looking for his MVP odds, but that's not unlikely.
You were close.
Rex Burkhead?
No. You're a little
is that some, like, rando running back that I've never heard of?
James Devlin.
Oh, Devlin, yeah.
James Devlin, the fullback. And here's why I think he is going to play a big role in this game. It's going to be not only about what he does after the snap.
You hate fullbacks, so this is crazy.
I hate fullbacks.
This is wild.
So the Patriots run 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end, more than anyone in the league except for the Niners, who, as I just said on my podcast, are paying Kalyushek $1 billion per year to play fullback.
A billion.
They've got a raise. You know.
You know
Silicon Valley. They just, executive compensation is just out of whack there.
Yeah.
So James Devlin, when he comes on the field, when they are in 21 personnel, the Rams respond with their base defense 88% of the time, second most in the NFL. So in the context of doing that, when you put James Devlin on the field, if you're going to play base against James Devlin with four defensive backs, you have a problem. Because now you can say, okay, let's put James Devlin outside at wide receiver when they come out of the huddle. He's either going to be up against the linebacker, so you know they're in man. Then you can motion him back in and you can play, can run the ball totally fine. You can have Julian Edelman in the slot against the cube to Lieber Marcus Peters, or as the Cowboys saw with the Amari Cooper touchdown, the Marcus Joyner, or you have Tlaib out there, out against the fullback, which is bad. Now you have suddenly a matchup that's to your favor in the passing game. So I think they're going to dictate personnel with James Devlin. Mm-hmm. And then I think that's going to lead to a lot of running plays. I don't think they can stop the Patriots' passing game with James Devlin as their fullback
because
with their base defense.
The adjustments that they
right. So another thing they're coming, they're going to play more nickel. And if they play more nickel, well, then now you have James Devlin against nickel Roby Coleman in the running game, which is, I think, an 80-pound difference. That is bad. So I think you're going to see a lot of runs because the Rams are going to have to play nickel against their base offense.
And the Rams linebacker unit, I've been saying all year, is the weakest on the team, in my opinion.
I mean, I think they've gotten better. I think Wade Phillips is pretty good.
The whole defense has gotten way better.
Sure.
Over the last, 6 weeks or so.
But they were 28th in rush defense DVOA?
Well, it's hard, too, because you got to think Wade is going to want to attack like that. I mean, he's always coached it.
You're right, though. I mean, I can't imagine Wade Phillips just sitting there and just being like, we'll figure it out. We'll be fine. Just play coverage, I guess. I don't know.
He protect, but also attack. the Patriots, it is kind of humorous that given everything that's happened in the NFL this season and the advent of the modern passing game and, these high flying offenses and where they're facing one right now, that they've gone so old school this, really the entire season, but especially in the postseason. I read somewhere that this is the most Belichick's used running backs in the postseason ever in 16 years.
Wow.
He is. So, and there's a number of reasons for that. It's dictated by Brady and what he's doing, what he's capable of, the personnel. Obviously, they have a lot of talented backs. But I kind of, talking about the Patriots offense, I kind of expect this game to play out the way the first two, for the Patriots, you know what I mean? Where they're gonna come out and just try to play I keep using the word grindy as an adjective, which is so not okay, but grindy ball control offense. They're not gonna lean too heavily on Brady to make difficult throws until possibly if they have to the end of the game or once the opposing defense is gassed and it softens up a little bit for him. And I can't see them really deviating from the strategy that they've been applying so far and that's been working so well.
If you were the Rams, what would you prefer the Patriots do?
Not that. That's why I expected them to do it.
Right, yeah, but then,
I'd want them to have Bray throwing it all over the place.
Really?
Slinging that thing, yeah.
I understand he's not playing as well as maybe he has in years past. I think he's still playing pretty good. I think he can still make some throws. I don't know that I would want that with my secondary against this matchup. I think it's a bad matchup for the Rams in the passing game because you figure the strengths are, number one, Aaron Donald in the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they're cornerbacks, right?
Yes.
Like they're weakest on the interior. They're weakest defending.
Johnson's been pretty good.
He's been good, but I mean, he's going to be generally – he's not really – he's more of a – I think more of a center fielder than he is a cover guy on a side to side. So I could be wrong, but that's just my perception of how they're going to use him in this game. You know, I think they don't want Joyner in coverage in the slot. They don't want their linebackers in coverage. That's what the Patriots do best, though.
Yeah.
Like their best receivers are going to be guys on the interior. It's going to be Gronk. It's going to be Edelman. It's going to be White.
They don't have an answer for Edelman. I've been thinking about that, looking at the matchups, and that's going to be a killer.
Right. And I think that you want to avoid that if possible. So to me, I think you kind of want the Patriots
to
run the ball.
The receivers.
I'd want them going deep to Hogan and Dorsett.
Yeah.
And I'd want them to run the ball because I think they're going to have less success, or I have a better shot of stopping the run than I do of stopping Edelman and those guys in the slot.
The Rams' run defense also has been really good
in the postseason.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that's again I find it very interesting these two teams because I guess there are so many things with them that have changed from the we talk about January football, which it doesn't really mean anything per se, but it is fascinating. I mean, it's undeniable that the Patriots really level up, and
for sure.
But with the Rams, I think you've seen a few trends over the last 6 or 7 weeks of the season, mm-hmm. and we talked a little bit about Jared Goff, some of his struggles, mm-hmm. the offense in general, you know, they had a few issues, but their defense has been a lot better, and their run defense has been excellent. Now, that said, in these last two games, they have been stacking the box mm-hmm. a lot. I mean, there's been sacrifices to make. It's not like all these guys woke up one day and they were like, we're really good now. I mean, maybe Ndamukong Suh did that,
right?
Which has been helpful for them. But it does create certain vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. So I expect them to really commit to stopping the run in mm-hmm. the Patriots. And I think I could see the Patriots making adjustments very quickly and punishing them for it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the very obvious thing, uh-huh. which is they really need to touch Tom Brady. You don't even sack him. Just put hands on the man, okay, which nobody has done. And obviously the reasons for that are manifold. It's funny, you were talking about Goff and the communication mm-hmm. thing and with McVay and like how the Patriots defense, you know, with Brady, that you just, his greatest skill as a cover back as a quarterback is his ability to immediately diagnose with the defense. And what sure. I think sometimes people underestimate is how that also helps him get the ball out super quickly, right? Yes. And so my question to you is, do you think this Rams defense, which is very good at generating interior pressure, mm-hmm. do you think they've got at least a chance to disrupt him?
For sure. They have a chance. I think it would be crazy to say they don't have a chance. You have maybe the best player at any position in football on that side of the field, right? Like, he's good. So I can't say no chance at all.
He's talking about Dante Fowler, folks.
Talking about Dante Fowler.
Big words for Dante Fowler.
The Fowl-chise is ready to come to town. The bird celebration is on the way.
The Fowl-chise.
Like the fifth chise. The thing I would say, though, I went back and looked through history with the Patriots. Number one, do you know how many times someone has racked up more than 2 sacks in a game against Tom Brady?
Never.
It's happened 3 times in 17 years.
The Broncos did it.
Von Miller did it once. One of them was Grady Jarrett, 3 sacks recently in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And it was like Joey Porter in like, you know, when we were in college. It would be my guess, the third one. But like, you get the idea. Like, you don't normally any one player, no matter how good they are, impact the game so dramatically against the Patriots. Usually it's going to be a bunch of players, like the Giants in those 2 Super Bowls.
Yes.
Which the Rams have the ability. They have the front four to do that. But the Patriots are pretty good. Like, I went back and looked at
you're ready here first, guys.
FYI, just so you know.
Patriots, pretty good. Even though nobody believed in them.
No, nobody believed in them, and they sucked.
Everyone
we picked against them every single week.
We were wrong.
But, like, I went back and looked through the last 3 years and looked at every time they were playing, like, a star defensive tackle, like a Pro Bowl caliber, like a Geno Atkins or an Aaron Donald. They played Aaron Donald mm-hmm. a couple of years ago. And in the last, I think it's 12 games, those guys had a total of 4 sacks. So, like, you know, you could have a Grady Jarrett kind of game where you're not expecting
yikes.
Right. Like, it's just
yikes.
when they're prepping for a dominant defensive tackle, they change some stuff, obviously, yeah. And they're smart about getting the ball out quickly and smart about getting the ball out to in places that make sense. So
we're going to see nonstop, you know, screens and swing passes. And
all the stuff that the Seahawks don't do.
Who wants to do that when you can just power run it?
Run pass.
Your point is really good, though, about, like, a generational pass rusher not being enough. Because, like, I think about that Broncos AFC Championship game 2015.
Yeah.
Oh, feels like so long ago. And when I think about it, you think about Von Miller or whatever, but wait, who was the other?
Marcus Ware.
Marcus Ware.
And Malik Jackson. Malik Jackson.
Okay,
third.
So the line was ridiculous.
Right.
But they also had an amazing secondary.
Yes.
And a secondary that I remember, Tlaib and Harris, was really physical at the line of scrimmage, which you have to be with the Patriots. Like, when we talk about stopping Brady from getting rid of the ball quickly, you have to be able to disrupt their routes and be physical with them at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And the Broncos secondary is one of the few units in the NFL that was completely capable of doing that.
Yes. And with Chris Harris, they had a cornerback who was very good in the slot.
Yes.
Against the Patriots' weaknesses.
Yep.
The Rams, I think Nickel Robey-Coleman, even though he's been, you know, he's been turned into a meme over the past few weeks, like, he is a good slot cornerback.
Yeah.
But he's not Chris Harris. He's not a all-pro caliber cornerback
right.
to play on either side. And I think, look at the numbers for the Rams, when they are not defending the slot, they're about league average in terms of yards per attempt. When they are defending the slot, I think the league average is 8 yards per attempt, and they're at 9.4. So, like, they are not good at defending players out of the slot. Tyreek Hill's had big plays against them. Tight ends have had big plays against them. I mean, the Patriots, like, you think about the sort of the closest similarity to the receivers they have, like the weapons they have, I would say it's the Eagles, where you have Zach Ertz, you have Aguilar in the slot, you have Golden Tate in the slot, you have all these different guys in the slot. Not Golden Tate, wasn't around for those for the game last year, but the Eagles beat the Rams twice. And I think Nick Foles was involved for a good chunk of those games. So, I mean, I think it could be a similar sort of thing where the Rams don't really have an answer unless Aaron Donald has a phenomenal game.
Their numbers at defending slot are actually pretty good, but, you know, Julian Edelman is a different animal. And then again, it's all about resources. If you're so, you know, if you're focusing so much energy on stopping certain things, you have to give up others. How do you think the Rams secondary is going? Like, it's usually Tlaib and Peters just stick to their sides.
Yep, 100%.
Do you see any deviation from that? I don't really think it really matters.
I think they might have to. I think it's going to be a situation where I think, like,
you think Tlaib's going to have to?
I would say Peters. I feel like Tlaib does not have the athleticism at this point to go in the slot on a regular basis.
Huh.
For a play or two here or there,
couldn't
maybe.
Could you just see Peters getting wrecked?
I could see Peters getting wrecked on the outside, too, though. Like, that doesn't shock
you
me.
You live
either.
By the Peters, you die by the Peters. I mean, like, yeah, he's going to, you know, he's either going to get an incredible interception.
Right. That's right. I wrote, like, he could have two interceptions or the GOAT of the game. But he could be the GOAT or the GOAT. And, like, neither of those possibilities are likely. Like, again, like, sort of Jared Goff, like, he has an incredible range of possible outcomes.
He would be my favorite dark horse MVP. I mean,
really?
Obviously it's never going to happen.
James Devlin's not going to win, you think?
The one that I think would be the funniest, the best for America, would absolutely be Marcus Peters.
I strongly disagree.
Who do you think it would be?
I think Johnny Hecker as MVP would be. Are you not on Johnny Hecker bandwagon?
Listen, of course. I fake it every punt ever. So of course I love the punter who fakes it.
But he's a known Seahawks troll.
By the way, couldn't you see Bill Belichick just faking a punt on, like, the first birthday? I'm sorry. It just popped into my head, and now I'm, like, so enchanted by the idea.
I think if we're going to see a fake, I could see the Patriots running Philly special.
I was going to see the Rams would do it. But
the Patriots got to beat them to the punch.
Yeah, like Eminem 8 Mile style. Like, if you do the disc before they can – right. I use that a lot, reference a lot. But would that be the biggest possible – what's the biggest worst troll?
The worst trolling?
If I was a coach, literally, I would spend like 8 hours a day just trying to think of stuff like this. There should be a position on an NFL team, like the troll coordinator.
Troll coordinator.
I volunteer my services.
Director of Trollytics.
You saw Sean Payton today wearing the Goodell clown shirt. Speaking of troll coaches. Is he the pettiest coach in the NFL?
The pettiest coach in the NFL? Oh, that's a good question. Sean Payton. He's super high up there, I'm thinking. Is he the pettiest coach? I feel like Tom Coughlin is kind of petty in a different way.
Tom Coughlin won, by the way, that showdown.
He did. It's true.
Sorry, we're kind of getting away from the game.
That's not.
Thinking about.
I'm not apologizing for this. I think at this point, like, I think if you're the Rams, you're going to have to do something in the slot. In fact, they're going to tear you apart either way. I don't think Roby Coleman is going to be good enough. So I think you have to maybe, if it's going to be Gronk in the slot, maybe you give Tlaib those slot reps. If it's going to be Edelman in the slot, I think maybe you see Peters. But I think either Donald has a great game or the pass rush has a great game, and the Patriots just don't have guys getting open because Brady's getting hit, or the Rams make changes because the Rams are going to be static. Like, that's just too easy to pick apart.
Do the Rams blitz slot? Not really.
I think they might blitz a little more. Rate? I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's Brady, so I'm not going to say, yeah, blitz Brady a lot. That seems to work out really well for a football team.
I mean, I don't know. If you were Wade Phillips, hoping that Darnold has a great game? Because that's not the worst or most infeasible possibility in the world.
That Aaron Donald just goes off?
Yeah.
I mean, he gets double teamed every play, yada, yada. So it's more, to me, is Nabom Kongsu have a great game?
That's a good point.
It's been the deciding factor in a lot of these matchups as teams have kept Aaron Donald off the stat sheet.
The Rams are 20.5%, which is the 12th lowest in the NFL. So just a little below league average.
I guess I always think of, like, playing the Patriots as, like, okay, well, what are you going to give up? Like, what's the one thing where you're like, you know what, you can do this? To me, I would say give up the deep pass. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't really have to worry, and I say that, and I'm sure Brandon Cooks is going to score like a 53-yard touchdown.
Are you saying the Patriots or the Rams?
I'm sorry, the Rams defense versus the Patriots.
Yeah, the Rams defense
what are the things you're
worst,
willing?
It's the worst defense in the NFL against deep passes.
Which is fine. It's not fine. It's bad. Mm-hmm. But as far as this matchup, if I'm thinking of, like, what are the things we can acknowledge that we're not great at, and that's fine, and, you know, like, pick your poison.
I would want them to run the ball.
You really think so?
I mean, like, they're going to run the ball well. Like, it's not going to be fun, but I would rather... I'd rather let them run for 5 yards of carry than have them throw for 11 yards, you know, a pass attempt.
That's true.
And I'd rather trust that we're going to get one play in a series where Aaron Donald's going to shoot into the backfield for a loss. I had Doug Farrar on my show, and he said almost exactly the opposite, because Doug is a lot smarter than me, so I'm inclined to listen to him, and I'm hearing his voice echo in my brain as I'm saying this, but I want to take the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. Like, I want to dare them to run the ball. I want to come out of nickel. I want to dare them to run the ball. And I want to trust that we have a great defensive line, and that's going to stop the run.
I think it's okay if they run. The nightmare scenario is, like, that, like, 8-minute drive that's, like, 50% runs, 50%, like, 7-yard passes mm-hmm. to James White. And that's what I see playing out in my mind's eye.
Yes.
But that's, you know what I mean? Like, just, And I just don't think the Rams can fall behind. Hey guys, I didn't know if you heard this. It's really not good if your team falls behind. Who do you think's going to win?
I hate doing this.
New England.
Patriots are going to win.
It's so obvious. Anyone's listening to this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, like, I tried to write it in my column to have it be even. I think it's close. Like, I think it's going to be, is it weird, by the way, that the Patriots have never won, like, a blowout Super Bowl or lost a blowout Super Bowl? Like, every single Super Bowl they've been in has been close.
That is so weird.
It's been 8 games.
Yeah.
And they haven't – in every one of those games has been either a tie in the fourth quarter or a lead change in the fourth quarter or both.
Well, you know, Satan likes to keep people guessing and not know that he's manipulating things happening on Earth. So he wouldn't do a blowout.
Would it be worse for the NFL if the Rams won and then didn't belong in the Super Bowl because of the blown call?
Ooh, I love this.
Or if the Patriots won?
No. It's worse if the Rams lose, because then they have to deal with more, like, we should have been there from the Saints. Whereas if the Rams actually pull this off, I think that actually will quiet a lot of the haters, because it's like, look what we did. We just beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
I will say quite comfortably that will quiet exactly zero haters. I don't think any Saints fans are going to be like, oh, okay, we're good now.
Speaking of quieting my haters, got a question from Lenny, but first, 4 questions from me, as always.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
All right, so 5 questions. I get the first one. Who's your pick to win the Super Bowl next year? I put mine down on, like, the ESPN.com. We have a thing coming out. But.
I'm not invited to ESPN.com things. They don't include me on those things.
Awkward.
My pick to win the Super Bowl next year is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
That was mine! I had Chiefs over Rams.
Like, I think the offense is going to be great. Yeah. I think the defense is going to be better.
Can't be worse. I mean, it can't be worse, but
it'll be hard for it to be worse.
Probably not. Wait, I had Chiefs over Rams as my Super Bowl. Yeah.
Do you have a dark horse pick? Or is that
not
allowed?
No, we didn't do dark horse picks.
If you had to pick a team with a losing record to win the Super Bowl next year, I'll give you the list: Dolphins, Bills, Jets, Browns, Bengals, Jaguars, Broncos, Raiders, Niners, Cardinals, Falcons, Panthers, Bucks, Packers, Lions, Washington, Giants.
Packers.
I'm gonna say Niners.
They were actually – I had Browns, Packers, Niners as my 3 as you were talking, and
– Niners are going to be the hot stat nerd pick for next year.
Yeah. Oh, did they have, like, terrible luck? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we'll get to that.
And their quarterback was broken all year.
The hot stat nerd pick. I thought that was me. Number 2, what's new with Maggie?
What's new with Maggie? Maggie is living in Washington, D.C. That is my dog, correct. She's moved to Washington, D.C. She is a very – antisocial dog. Like,
God,
she would typically go to the dog park and just kind of, like,
same.
She would walk around in Brooklyn. This is when I was living in Brooklyn, and she would, like, sniff everyone's butt and, like, sniff some pee and then just literally lay down in the middle of the gravel dog run. Hot, cold, doesn't matter. Maggie has started playing. Maggie goes to the dog run in Washington. She just wasn't, like, she would, like, be like, what? I don't know what these people are doing.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, runs around with other dogs now. Nothing has made me happier in my whole life. Like, I was very anxious about moving to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I did that recently, and I found out that Maggie is playing in the dog run in Washington, and now we will never move because we found a place where she's happy.
You thought about giving her a podcast? spawn your show? She heard about Lenny.
She's heard about Lenny. Lenny is a frequent topic of conversation in my household.
Makes sense.
Many other people's dogs are, but particularly Lenny. Maggie, again, antisocial. Not a little bit of a hater.
No,
Lenny's
like that too. It's okay. It's cool. With other dogs, I guess.
Can I tell you what happened when the first time I met Lenny?
What was it?
Was in your apartment in Brooklyn.
Just say it.
Can't
remember.
Lenny started barking, but also jumped up to side, over and over and
he's
for 10 minutes straight. He has
he's
so
got
much
a
hops.
Vert on him.
It is incredible. Yeah, he's just a straight up jumper. So Lenny does not like
No, he does that to everyone. Number three, where will Nick Foles play football next year?
I think the fun answer to this question is the Philadelphia Eagles. I just think,
what do you think the real answer is, though?
I think the Eagles are not implausible.
But so you think they pick up the option?
No. I just think he hits the market and gets $10 million a year offers. Mm. And then someone's the Eagles are hey, we'll give you $7 million a year to stay. And they'll be like, you know what? I almost retired. I'm so comfortable here.
He's going to get more than $10
million? Is he that good?
That's not what I asked you.
But that's the thing. who, if you're, what teams are going to give Nick Foles more than $10 million a year?
Jacksonville.
Was going to get someone else. I think Jacksonville is going to get Joe Flacco to be.
Oh my god! Let me rephrase this.
Okay.
Foles or Flacco? Who would you take as a? I'd take Foles.
I would take Flacco.
What?
I don't think Joe Flacco is better than Nick Foles. I don't think Nick Foles is going to stay healthy for 16 games at any point
That's
in his
fair.
Career.
That's
and Joe
fair.
Flacco, generally, last year being the exception, is pretty healthy.
Question number four. Mm-hmm. Who's your deep cut? Well, you already gave me a deep cut MVP. Gosh,
did I answer number three?
You said Philadelphia.
I said that would be the most fun
answer.
Oh,
okay. Then what is the...
He will be the starting quarterback by the end of the season for the...
Giants?
Oakland Raiders.
Wow.
Is Derek Carr getting in his way? They have cap space?
No, but are they really going to pay Nick Foles...
What else are they going to do with their money? I think if they're, I think John Gruden.
He's very Gruden-y.
Gruden is friends with Andy Reid. They play the same scheme pretty much, or they play a version of the same scheme. Stranger things have happened.
Man. I had not thought about that. Well, you know, it makes sense.
What's your answer?
He's a bad boy. He belongs in that town.
But what town is that, by the way? Because I don't know if the Raiders are where they're playing in 2019.
It doesn't matter. It's just wherever the bad boys like Nate Foles go. I think Jacksonville, but
I could see it.
I mean, I think it would be between him and Flacco, and I'm choosing him because I think he's better than Flacco, and I don't think he's going to cost more than Flacco. Mm-hmm. But you're right; the injury thing is material.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Where is Teddy Bridgewater going to be playing?
Turning
this
year? The podcast against me.
I'm a podcast host, sort of my thing.
Giants, maybe.
Makes the most sense, right?
Yeah.
I think my perception from what I've heard is that they are. I think he is friendly with Pat Shermer, but it's not the sort of Adam Gase, Jay Cutler thing where it's oh man, these guys got to get together. It's going to be great. I think it's just he's cool. He's a nice guy.
Literally everyone thinks that about Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
He's cool. I'd hang out with him.
Would he be the player in the NFL you'd most want to hang out with? He could be the most fun?
Oh, okay. Hang out with just for a good time and a relaxing hang? That I'd want a story or
No. Just you're going to go and have a nice, fun, friend to hang out with.
I mean, he's definitely my top three. The thing I hate the most about myself is that I would probably really vibe with Andrew Luck. I'm not proud of that. But it's obviously true.
I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah.
I also feel the same way about me.
You watch the new season of Narcos? I'd like to know.
All right. We got to get through two more questions.
Okay.
I'm going to change number four and throw that out because there's the MVP thing you already answered. Bill Barnwell thinks James Devlin's going to be the MVP of the Super
Bowl. Yeah, why not?
So I'm going to change it. If you met Antonio... No, I'm going to change it. New question.
Okay.
Would you let Aaron Donald tackle you like an open field for $10,000?
No.
$20,000?
No.
$100,000?
Yes. the way I think of it is what could I do with this money, right?
Get the best doctors to
right.
tie together.
Number one.
To unbreak your ribs.
A good chunk of that money is going straight back to the medicine. I'm trying to think of what my deductible is at ESPN. I think it's, I don't know, but a certain amount of money is going to medicine to start. Let's go straight there.
Yes.
Podcast. $20,000? I'm not. Maybe there's a 30 for 30 on it because it's just this crazy writer thought he'd be great to get assaulted. Maybe I get a few grand for that. But, $20,000, I can get a decent sedan, entry-level sedan for that.
I have no idea how much cars cost.
You live in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, but I don't really drive, and I didn't.
Okay, so if you had 20 grand just popped in your lap tomorrow, what would you do with it?
Put it in my 401k.
Oh, fortune writer Mina Kimes. Oh, I'm going to burn my 401k.
Well, stocks are really down, right? It's a good time to invest. Actually, don't. This is not a stock. Oh, all right, question from Lenny. Bill. As a former executive with the Cleveland Browns, what did you make of the big ESPN story on your old boss? Mm. Wow. Lenny, we don't talk about that here. Mm. Wow. You can ask him after the show, but people don't need to know that.
Mm. That's funny, Lenny. That's a really interesting thing you brought up there, because I don't know if you know this.
Oh, no.
I don't work for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I noticed you spoke in the present tense, folks.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. I don't want any rumors to spread. I know that's a problem with some ESPN employees. I don't work for the Cleveland Browns.
Currently.
I could work in the future if they holler it, you know. I think it is very accurate. And I think there's this funny thing that fans of bad teams do where when people write about them, they're like, oh, there's no way you could know the story. Like, you got to watch the tape. You got to be, like, in the building. Like, is it that hard to fathom that a story that portrays the Cleveland Browns as, like, kind of bumbling is accurate? Or was it, like, that portrays them as bumbling in the past was accurate? Like, it seems entirely plausible to me.
Did it make you – so I thought that was a very attractive job. I think I might be higher on Baker Mayfield than you, but I just
– I think Baker's great.
I think he's great. I think there's just so many talented guys on the team. The last few games are just really exciting for me. But then you read a story like this, and you're like, oh, right, you have to work for Jimmy Haslam.
That's 100% of the reason why I don't think that is an attractive job. And I think there was a big disconnect. I wrote about it, actually, for ESPN. I had them in kind of the middle of the pack where if it were league average ownership, that would be the most attractive job in the league.
Yeah.
But it's not. It is the worst ownership group. Maybe – is Daniel Snyder worse?
I was going to say, I don't know, man. Because at least Jimmy had – like, he doesn't seem that unpleasant. He just, like, is the kind of guy who cracks eggshells on the office, according to it.
I mean, like – you know, I think he's 31 or 32. Yeah. And I think you can't – would you want to uproot your life and move to Cleveland? I'm fine with living in Cleveland, but would you want to uproot your life and move to Cleveland thinking the owner's going to have a bad day and change his mind and fire everyone? No. I just can't imagine that would be a good place to work for anyone who has serious options as a head coach. Yeah. So to me, that is a mid-tier job, even though so many things are in great shape.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, I don't work for the Browns.
Currently. Currently, you are a guest on my podcast. This is like when Kyle Shanahan – I don't know why I made a Shanahan mistake. You know, because they're both cool. I was trying to choose one where there was no bad one, and they're both really good coaches.
I chose one where it was both bad, actually.
I have a lot of takes about Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. But it's been fun having you. Thanks for coming back. For the first time. I know that was preemptively thanking you for coming back in the future when you don't work on the Cleveland Browns as you aren't currently working on the Cleveland
I'm happy to come back and talk about my appearance on the 30 for 30 when I worked for the Browns and Aaron Donald attacked me and was suspended for weeks for attacking a Browns employee.
What if I told you, an NFL writer? Speaking of 30 for 30s, guys, 30 for 30 has a new film coming out, Deion's Double Play. It takes us back to October 1992 when Deion Sanders tried to play for both the Atlanta Falcons and the Braves on the same day in two cities. If you're listening to this podcast on Thursday, January 31st, you can catch the film tonight on ESPN at 9 p.m. Eastern. If not, look out for when the film drops on our streaming service, ESPN Plus. And if you want to hear more about the making of the documentary, check out the 30 for 30 podcast. Host Jody Avran chatted with Primetime himself and the director of the film. You can listen to 30 30 wherever you get your podcasts.